was a lady who went through the Holocaust. She went through the camps. She survived. She lost her whole family. She eventually manages to get a visa to come to America. She's walking the streets in New York, and she gets the shock of her life. She sees her husband. She's so happy, so excited. She thought, just like her children, her parents, her siblings were all killed. She was sure her husband had also died. But her husband had survived. She didn't know it. And, of course, they get together. They live together now. They find an apartment to live in. Ecstatic to be together again. Life is very difficult. They don't speak the language. They have difficulty making parnasa. But bit by bit, they get used to their life in America. And eventually, he gets a job, but they can't make ends meet. Comes Pesach, and they haven't even got enough money to buy a cover for the matzahs. But this woman is handy, and she manages to get together scraps of material from different places, and she sews a matzah cover. And they use this. They're so happy to have a cover for the matzahs on Pesach, which she herself made. Then the years go by, and like many Holocaust survivors who came here, he gets more successful and more successful until this man is very wealthy. And is now, he has a Seder dish now, 5 stories high, a silver dish. And every year on top of that Seder plate, they would put this matzah cover, the one that she had sewed so many years ago. The years go by, they have children, they marry off their children. And eventually the husband died. And now it's time for the almona, this old lady, to make her first Pesach. All the kids beg her that she should come to them for Pesach. She decides which child to go to. She goes to that child's home. And the night before Pesach, she comes to her daughter. And she says to her, "I have a gift to give you." She says, "Oh, you didn't have to give me anything. It's fine. I'm so happy to have you." She says, "No, I want to give you something." So he says, "Okay." So she gives her the gift. She opens, and what's in the gift? The matzah cover that this lady and her husband had used all those years, that she had sewed so many years ago. Her daughter looks at the matzah cover and says, "What am I going to do with this? Where am I going to put it? I've got such a beautiful Pesach, a table set, such a beautiful table set. Where am I going to put this piece?" "Okay." And the mother bursts into tears. She runs out the room and she says, "You just don't get it." And I think when it comes to Yom Tovim, to so many things in Yiddishkeit, so many people just don't get it. We think we understand. We think we go through the motions of a Yontif, but do we really get it? You go through a Pesach, and you're supposed to take out some inspiration, take something out from the Yontif. And I've heard people talking. What did they take out from the Yontif? One person told me he took out 5 pounds and not matzahs. One person put on 9 pounds. This is what they took out from the Yontif. The Meiri writes that he gives a moshel of a donkey who at different times of year he carries different loads. There's a season when he carries apples, a season he carries corn, a season he carries grain. But to the donkey, it's all the same. To some people, sholish regalim are just different loads. 3 different loads we have a year. And we go through the motions as the same thing every time. We have to make sure as Zman comes, we understand with Zman, that we get it. Now we've come to a new Zman, a Zman of Sfira Soima. It's not just another load. What's happening now? What are we supposed to be taking from this Zman? What are we supposed to be working on now? Rabbeinu Bechaya asks, why is it that in Parashas Emor it goes through all the Yom Tovim, and each time it comes to Yontif, it writes the date for the Yontif, except when it comes to Shavuos. Shavuos, there's no date at all. Why is there no date there? So he explains that we make a mistake. We have to understand what's really happening over here. We know that when Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, when Klal Yisrael come out, Tavdun Elikim Al Horazer, we'll serve Hashem on this mountain. The whole tachlis of Yitzias Mitzrayim is the Matan Torah. Therefore, Lashonis of Geula, the last one is V'lokachti Eschem Li La'om. What is the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim? that fourth lashon of geula. Lokachti eschem li la'om. It's a chelik of the geula. It's not pshat that you have a geula, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then there's a matan Torah. That is part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the fourth lashon of geula. So people make a mistake, and they think we have two yomim tovim. There's one Pesach, Chag HaGeula. And then there's another one, Shavuos, Matan Torah. Srez Rabbeinu B'chai, no such thing. There's one yontif of Geula. It begins Pesach. It continues until Shavuos. The days in between are Chol HaMoed. And the Ramban also says this at the end of Parshas Emor. One long yontif. So the Torah does write a date for Shavuos. What is the date of the Shavuos? The 15th of Nisan. That's when Shavuos begins. Shavuos is referred to in the Torah as Atzeres. Why Atzeres? Just like at the end of Sukkot, there's Shmini Atzeres. Here too we can't call it a Shmini Atzeres. It's called Atzeres. It's the end of Pesach. And just the days of Sfira, the days in between, are the days of Chol HaMoed. Unfortunately, we don't have to take our children on trips every day. This is the Zman that we're going through now. But how many people recognize this? How many people get it? Chazal tell us, Ein ben chayrin, ele misho eiske b'teirah. You're talking about chayrus on Pesach. There is no chayrus yet. You came out of Mitzrayim, you didn't have chayrus. You crossed the Yamsuf, you didn't have chayrus. Chayrus only came at Matan Torah. And you have to say this is the Peshat. Because if so, how is it possible that people were celebrating Pesach in the Inquisition? They were celebrating Pesach when a pogrom might happen any moment. A mob could come down the street and kill them all. They celebrated Pesach in concentration camps. Oh, Chag HaGeula. How can you celebrate a Chag HaGeula then? Because that wasn't the Geula of Pesach. The Geula wasn't the coming out of Mitzrayim. The Geula is, like we say in Davening, the Cheiros Olam, an eternal freedom. It was the chayrus that we got on Shavuos, Ein ben chayrin, ele misho eisek b'teirah. And that geula we have in every generation, even when the goyim are trying to kill us, even when shebechol doiva doiri oimdim aleinu lechaloseinu, a person could be sitting in a concentration camp, but they can still celebrate that chayrus. Like Moshe was shown in Mitzrayim, hasneh einenu ukol, that bush was not consumed. Klal Yisrael will never be destroyed. The New York Times, in its Millennium Edition, in the year 2000, they made a special Millennium Edition. And in it, there were three special pages. One page, they put the New York Times front page of the year 1900. The next page was the New York Times for the year 2000, that day's edition, the front page for the day, January 1st, 2000. And the third page was the New York Times edition, 2100, January 1st, 2100. And they had editors who had come out with ideas of what's going to be, talked about the moon and robots, vacations to the moon, different ideas what's going to be taking place in the year and the headlines of 2100. At the bottom of the page, there was something very interesting there. Between 1990 and 1995, there was a philanthropist who decided that he wanted to spread Yiddishkeit. He wanted to show the world and people yidden around about, you know, tell them about Yiddishkeit. So he paid the New York Times every week to put on the front page candle lighting for Jewish girls and women, what time it was. Every week in New York Times, it was written. Small little piece on the front page. He paid for that $5,000 every week. He did it for 5 years, and then, I don't know if there was a recession then, but he stopped doing it. And in this Millennium Edition, they put down candle lighting time for girls in the year 2100. So somebody contacted the editor of that page. It was an Irish guy. And they asked him, that how come he put in it the candle lighting for Jewish girls and women on this edition? And he said, I felt I should put it, because who knows what's going to be in the year 2100. But one thing I'm sure about, the Jewish girls and women will still be lighting candles on Friday night. Hasneh einenu ukol. Klal Yisrael will continue forever. How did that happen? Nothing to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim.
That is to do with Matan Torah. And that is the Chirus Olam that we're given. That is what's kept us going through the Torahs. You look throughout history, as every empire has collapsed, every empire has gone into Golas, it disintegrated, doesn't exist anymore. But Klal Yisrael, being in Golas for 2,000 years, still lives on, and that is only through the Torah. So this is a Zman, we have to think of this Matana that we got from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Ramatzio Salman writes in his Sefer, well, there was a Mashkiach who came home, who came to Yeshiva one day carrying a box. He comes in to give a shmooze, and he says, this box is a Raya Torah min Hashemayim. And of course, they looked at him.
What?
So he explained to them that his wife received this box in the mail from the United States. And in it was a machine to use in the kitchen to make life easier for her. And she couldn't work out how to work this machine. She didn't understand it, and she couldn't find the instructions. So the Mashkiach said he started looking for them, and he had to search and search. And he said that it's not possible that they sent us such a useful machine and they didn't put instructions in the box. And eventually, he found the instructions. She was able to use this machine, and it made her life much easier. So he said he understood. The Ribbono Shel Olam put us in this world, a world which is so complicated, so difficult to make decisions, what to do, how to act, how to live our life. How does one raise their children? How does one have a business and run it ethically? How does one have shalom bayis? Many questions in daily life. The Ribbono Shel Olam couldn't put us in this world if he didn't give us a manual. And of course, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a manual. He gave us the Torah. This is the Zman that we have to think about, this Chayrus Olam, to celebrate, to appreciate the Matana the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us. And when one receives a present, one has to value two points now to look at in the present. One is, who gave the present? For example, there's a story of there was a person in Eretz Yisrael who was doing some dray, and he was getting money from the government, and he was a very poor person, he had many children, but he was getting more money from the government he should have been getting. And there was somebody from the government coming to check up on him. And he was terrified, they're going to come, thrown in prison, he has 12 children, what's it going to be? So he was a ger chassid, he goes into the ger rebbe to ask him for bracha. And the previous ger rebbe, father of the present ger rebbe, the Leif Simcha, so his minig was, I was by him a few times, you go into him, didn't say too much, gives you an apple, bruch vatslucha. He got such an apple and he left. And this man wasn't very happy with that. How's that going to help him? He didn't tell him what to do, what to answer. His crying, he goes home. And to his horror, when he gets home, this man from the government is in his house already. He walks in the house holding the apple. His children knew where he came from. He came from the Ger Rebbe. All 10 children see that apple from the Rebbe. They pounce. And they start fighting over this apple. Everybody is grabbing a piece. One of them just gets the core, one gets the pits. But they're so excited to get parts of this apple. This man is watching 10 children fight over one apple. He says, this guy, he needs help, and he leaves him alone. People are excited by who they got the gift from. Sometimes you get a gift. You get a gift from a rebbe. A chassan gives the color a gift. He gives her a tissue box. Wow, thank you so much. What a gorgeous tissue box. I just love the flowers on it. Wow, how did you choose this tissue box? It came from a chassan. It's exciting. Lahavdil, somebody gets something from a famous baseball player. Whoa, I got it from him. So again, it's who gives the gift can be exciting. That's one celebration. And then, sometimes you don't care who gave you the gift. But what matters? What is the gift? If somebody gives you a diamond bracelet, he gives a woman. He gives a teenager his own car. Does he care who gave him the car? He's got a car, he's so excited about it. The gift itself brings excitement. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Torah. And we have to look, there's two aspects to this gift. There's one, who gave us the gift? Melech Malchei Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gave us the gift, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. That's what to celebrate. And then, there's, look at the gift. As Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, says in Mishlei, Kol Chavetzecha Lo Yishvu Bo. There's nothing that has the value that you couldn't compare to the Torah. That is the greatest value of all. That is something else to celebrate. We have to realize at this time of year how empty, how desolate, how meaningless our lives would be without it. There was a time in the Holocaust when the Germans went into Russia. They didn't send the people to concentration camps. They would send a group called the Einsatzgruppen to line the people up in front of pits. The Jews would have to dig those pits, and then they would shoot them in the back of the head. And this was happening in one place, and the men were lined up there. One of them went over to the German and said to him, "I would like to ask you a request before you shoot me." In civilized countries, they give a person a last request. So the man said, the German said to him, "What's your request?" He says, "I'd like to say a prayer before you kill me." So he says, "Go ahead." And the man said the bracha in Lashon HaKodesh, and then he translated into German. And he made the bracha with tremendous kavana. Baruch Atu Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Sheloi Osani Goy. He felt at this moment, this Yid, "I'd much rather be who I am than be who you are. I am happy to die as a Jew." How many people went to the deaths in Auschwitz and other concentration camps, b'simcha, because they knew they were Yidden, even if they had to die as a Yid, but they were Yidden. What a schus they had to live and to die as a Yid. This person, who then afterwards was shot by the Nazi, he understood about Cheres Olam. He could celebrate a Seder in a Zman like that. Cheres Olam, an eternal freedom. He understood the value of the gift of the Torah, which Jews have been able to celebrate in the most trying of times. We can understand that the child of the Manishtana asks a question. He asks, "Shebechol aleyos anu eichlin chometz u'matzah." Why does the child ask, on other nights of the year, we eat chometz and matzah? On other nights of the year, we don't eat chometz and matzah. On other nights of the year, we eat only chometz. At $25 to $30 a pound, it's cheaper to eat steak. People don't eat matzah during the year, unless they miscalculate it. So why does the child ask, on other nights of the year, we eat chometz and matzah? It should be like the second question. On other nights of the year, we eat shayirokis. Tonight, morot. The first question would be, on other nights of the year we eat chometz, tonight we eat matzah. And the answer is that this child is asking a deeper question. He is asking, the Klal Yisrael now had a cheres. They got freedom. And where did they get that freedom from? They got the freedom. Just like when somebody gets freedom from jail, what happens? He brings a carbon toida. When somebody crosses the sea, they bring a carbon toida. When somebody is sick in Klal Yisrael Chayei Nefesh, they bring a carbon toida. Somebody crosses the desert, they bring a carbon toida. Klal Yisrael had experienced all four of them. The child asks, there's only one carbon that has in it chometz and matzah, and that is a carbon toida. So he asks his father, "Ma nishtana halayla zeh? Why is it tonight? We have so much freedom. We have so much to give our daughter to the Rabbeinu Shlom. Why do we have this carbon Pesach and matzah? On other nights of the year, we have chometz and matzah. The matzah is missing." So what does the father answer? He says, "Child, you don't understand. This yontov is not over yet. This yontov has only just begun. This yontov ends shavuos. It ends shavuos with matan Torah. Acheres Olam. That is the fourth lashon of Geula. What is the carbon of shavuos? It's the only carbon that a tzibur brings, which is only chometz. The shtei alechem of shavuos, the carbon of shavuos, is chometz. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to show us that the yontov of Pesach is one long yontov. It begins on Pesach, where you have the matzah with the carbon, and it ends on Shavuos. And on Shavuos you have the other chelik. You have the matzah. It's a zman of oidor to the Ribbono Shel Olam that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us Cheres Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us this Torah. But in order to be thankful for the Torah, one has to work on Hakaras HaTov. How do we make a tova to the Rabbeinu Shlom? And that's why it's so interesting that the Shavuos is also Chag HaBikurim. That mitzvah that teaches us how to give Hodor to the Rabbeinu Shlom, to thank our Kodesh Baruch Hu for the new Peiros. And when a person brings Bikurim, what does he say over there? he says, "Omarte love." He has to say to the client, there's a kriya that he says in the Beis HaMikdash. And he goes through the whole history of Klal Yisrael, of thanking the Rabbeinu Shalom for the history. He says over, just like we say the same thing at the Seder, Arami Oivadovi. And the Seder also, we thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for the history of Klal Yisrael. Arami Oivadovi. And Rashi says there, "V'omarte love." Why do you say this to show she'eincha kofui teiva? You're not ungrateful. Why doesn't Rashi say you say this piece to show that you are grateful? Because to be grateful to the Rabbeinu Shalom is impossible. Every breath we take, every step we take, we'd have to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for. So at least don't be ungrateful. Show she'eincha kofui teiva. At least that we have to do. We have that mitzvah bikurim begin shvuos to help teach us how to be Makir Tova, in order we could be Makir Tova for the Torah itself. When a person, today we don't have a Korban Torah, so instead a person benches Goyim. And the bracha of benching Goyim will have a Goyim Echavim Tovis, Shegmalani, Kol Tov. What are those words, Kol Tov? What's the Kol? So Dubna Magid explained it. He said there was a rich person who saw a person in town who didn't have any money. He felt sorry for him. So every month, he sent him $500. And every month, this person would come to thank the rich person for the gift. The rich person said to him, "It's okay. You don't have to come and thank me every time. Forget about it." So he didn't bother anymore. One time, this poor person was making a chasna. So the rich person knew he was making chasna. This month, he sent him $1,500. Sayyid receives the gift, goes to the rich man, and he says, "Thank you so much for the $1,000 you sent me." He says, "Excuse me? $1,000? I sent you $1,500. He says, "Yep, but you told me not to thank you for the other $500. He says, "Yeah. I told you every month you'd have to come and thank me for the $500. I don't want you to bother to thank me. But once you're already thanking me, you don't ignore that $500. You thank for that $500 as well." A person cannot thank the Rabbeinu Shalom constantly. It's impossible for us. But when we get an opportunity, when we do thank the Rabbeinu Shalom, a person is bringing a Torah, a person is benching Goyim, then you have to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom kol tov for everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. But how much are we makir what the Rabbeinu Shalom does for us? There's a famous story of a Mr. Fearer in Eretz Yisrael. He's a person who advises and helps people who have medical conditions. He advises them which doctors to go to. If they have to go to America, he makes arrangements for the trip. And so he was at the Kaisel with a big philanthropist. And they're standing there, and they see a person davening at the Kaisel. And this person is crying his eyes out, crying uncontrollably. They're watching him. They feel so sorry for him. So Mr. Firas says to this philanthropist, "This person obviously has a major problem. And let's make a deal. If it's medical, I'll take care of him. And if it's financial, you'll take care of him." So the rich man says, "Okay." The man finishes davening. They go over to him. And they say to him, "Sir, you know, we saw you were davening. What's your problem?" He says, "What do you mean? What's my problem?" He says, "You know, what were you davening for? The problem you were davening." He says, "I wasn't davening for a problem." He says, "So what were you davening for?" He says, "I just married off my youngest child. And I came here to daven and thank the Rabbeinu Shalom that I was able to marry off all my children." People say over this story. People are impressed by this story. What is there to be impressed about? You know why we're impressed? Because there's something wrong with us. We're impressed because we are not Makir Tova properly. We don't recognize what the Rabbeinu Shalom does for us. This person is somebody who recognized it. And therefore, we shouldn't be impressed by such a story. We should also reach that level. There's a famous story that Baron Rothschild was once choking on a bone. The people in his home tried to get the bone, I couldn't do anything. They saw a doctor walking past. So somebody rushed out, called the doctor in. And the doctor took care of him and got the bone out. As you can imagine, Baron Rothschild was very thankful. So he said to the philanthropist, he said to this doctor, I'd like to pay you for what you did for me. What's your fee?" So the doctor said, "Listen, I'm not at my office now. I'm just going by. I can do a person a favor." He says, "No, I want to pay you. Tell me what your fee is." He says, "I told you, I don't have a fee. I happen to be walking by, and I helped you out. Forget about it. Baron Rothschild says, do you know who I am? Nobody does me a favor. When I get a favor, I pay for the favor. Tell me what you want, and I will pay you. So the doctor says, okay, if you insist. I'll tell you what he says. Since I don't have a specific fee for this type of thing, so I'll tell you what, when you had that bone in your throat, probably you were thinking then how much you want to get it out, and you were thinking you would pay to get it out. Whatever the amount you would have paid to get the bone out at that time, give me half of that money. In other words, when a person has a sorrow, a person would do anything to get rid of that sorrow. When a person doesn't start Kodesh Baruch at the time of its sorrow, we beg Hashem, we remember Hashem. We daven with such kavana. There's no atheist in the foxholes. But what happens afterwards? What happens when a person gets that Yeshua? And now, of course, I give thanks to Kodesh Baruch. But is it the same type of tefillah? Is it with the same intensity? Of course not. When they stood and davening and sang that Lam Nateach, Yanucha Hashem v'yoyim sorrow, they cried their eyes out, saying that Kapitel Tehillim, that Kodesh Baruch Hu should bring them a Yeshua. That Kapitel Tehillim is Kapitel Chav in Tehillim. And we all know the Rashi in Chayesara, where Rashi says there, Bas Kuf Kebas Chav, about Sorei Meinu. And we could understand that Rashi is also being meramas to us. Kapitel Kuf in Tehillim is Mizmor L'Soida, is the Kapitel to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all he does for us. Bas Kuf, that Kuf in Tehillim, the Mizmor L'Soida, should be with the same feelings and intensity as Kebas Chav, about Yan Chashem B'Yem Tzara. One should daven the same way. But we don't appreciate. We take things for granted. And the Chayvus Halvavus brings this out very clearly with a marshal. He says, imagine you have somebody who he sees in an orphanage a child. He sees what a miserable life, how this child is going to grow up. So he takes this child into his home and he raises him from when he's a young child until he grows up and takes care of every need of his. This same person sees somebody who was a difficulty, was in a fight with somebody, with the porots, and this person arrests him, he was in prison. And he goes and he helps the person get out of prison. He helps him get on his feet again. Which do you think is more thankful? Is it the child who he raised, or is it the one who he helped get out of prison? You can be sure the one who got out of prison is running around praising this person, talking about what a wonderful person. All his life is thankful to him. While this child who he raised acts like you guys act to your parents. They take it, he takes it for granted. He gets used to it. Which one should be more grateful? One of them he took and raised from nothing, gave him everything he has. The other one time in life he helped him. But the one who he helped one time in life is more grateful. And the Chayyus Halvavus tells us, this is how we act with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let me bring it out perhaps a little more clear in today's world. Imagine you have a flight. A person is going to Eretz Yisrael for Sukkos. Everything is arranged for him there. And he's there with his whole family on the flight, so excited. But something goes wrong. The plane gets diverted. And the plane has to turn back and has to land in England. It lands up in England not long before Yontif. And there's no way of getting to Eretz Yisrael. And they're stuck now, Yontif, in England. So there's calls made from the airport. There's people who get involved knowing there's Yidden on the flight, calling the people in London, telling them what's happened. And there's a lot of Yidden have nowhere to be, Yontif. By the time the flight's landed, the people in England know exactly how many Jews are on the flight, how many children are on the flight, exactly all their needs. They get off the plane 2 hours before Yontif. And there's people there, many, many people there waiting to pick up from Yidden there. And each one of them is taken into London. One person takes in a family with 8 children. And he gives them, every one of them he finds beds to sleep in. Then the people say, but what's going to be? They didn't manage to get their luggage, clothing for Yontif. He says, no problem. I found out beforehand exactly who was coming. And he's got hold of different suits and different sizes, different clothing for the children. He said, what about Arba Minim? Don't worry.
I ran to the store. I got Arbaminin. And then he takes out toys for the young children to play with. Anything you could think of. This man in the last 2-3 hours has been running around his whole family, preparing for this family. Can you imagine how this family is marketed? This family goes through a yontif, a most wonderful experience. They sit there together, these two families together. And could be they have a greater yontif than they would have had in Eretz Yisrael. They love every minute of it. They feel the warmth, the love of that family. And we understand it. We can relate to it. And you can imagine these people, for the rest of their lives, tell over this story. They probably tell it over to Pesach Kron, and he writes it as a story in one of his books. How come he doesn't write a story in one of his books that everybody over here went home for Yontif, and your parents did all of these things for you? And they didn't just do it one Yontif. They did it every single Yontif. But that we don't notice at all. That, as the Chayv Zalvavis says, is regilus. We get used to it. We forget about it. We don't appreciate it at all. It's no wonder when the Chinuch describes the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, he goes through in great detail explaining how much a parents do for a child, how they raise him and take care of his every need. And he said, and somebody who doesn't recognize this, he calls him, he's a manuvel, he's a kofet toifa, he calls him all names. So you have to learn, he says, that is why the Rebbein Shem gave us this mitzvah, to learn how to appreciate your parents. The yale mizeh, you go up from this. This is just a stepping stone. The Rebbein Shem gave us this mitzvah for a reason, to train us how to make it toiva to the Rebbein Shem. Because just like we get used to our parents, we get used to the Rebbein Shem. We don't realize that every breath we take, we have to be thankful to the Rebbein Shem. This is a zman to appreciate. To appreciate the chirus oilam the Rebbein Shem gave for us. And to do that, we must work on this middah of Akaras HaToiv. The Yontif begins with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim itself began with the greatest lesson of Akaras HaToiv. How did Yetzias Mitzrayim begin? With the first makkah, the makkah of Dov. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do that makkah. Wow. He had to have Akaras HaToiv to the water. He couldn't strike the water. He was saved by the water. What a lesson in Akaras HaToiv. Hakaras HaToiv even to an inanimate object. That is the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Maral writes, the whole mitzvah on Seder night of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not shvach, is not praise of the Rebbein Shloim, it's Hakaras HaToiv to the Rebbein Shloim. And then Shavuos again. Shavuos again is a mitzvah, again, of receiving the Torah, of being Makir Toiv of the Torah. It's Chag HaBikurim to train us in Hakaras HaToiv. The Omer itself was also a korban of, to remind us, to be thankful for the reign of Akaras HaToiv. David HaMelech was born and died in Shavuos. He was the greatest example, the paradigm of somebody who's Makir Toiv to the Rebbein Shloim. And like I said, we begin with Akaras HaToiv in daily life. I'd like to bring this out, how much we have to be Makir Toiv in daily life, from a story I heard recently from Dr. Pelkovitz. Dr. Pelkovitz is a psychologist who is very involved with problems in the Jewish community and he gives a lot of speeches in many different places. Satmar begged him to come to speak to a weekend of theirs for disabled children. And he says for 5 years he refused to come for the weekend. He says he's not comfortable sitting, only Satmar Hasidim there. You know, Shabbos, he wants to relax. And they begged him so much, finally he agreed to come. And when he was saying over the story, he mentioned how they, it seems like they really appreciated him when he was there because he overheard one of them saying to another one, "Der Pelkovic is mamish mechaside umas ha'olam." So they really appreciated him. So he said over a mice over there that a person, a satmar chassid, came over to him and asked, could I speak to you after the meal? So he said, sure. And they sat down in the lobby, Dr. Pelkovic, this man and his wife. And he wanted to turn over to Dr. Pelkovitz what happened. He said that when my child was born, we were told that this child is so sick that not only will he never walk in life, he'll never speak, he'll never sit up, never do anything. We'll have to be lying in a bed all his life. And, of course, it was very traumatic to hear that. But we decided we're going to do everything to make this child have some type of life. The most difficult thing for us to accept was that we couldn't even take him anywhere because he had to lie in a bed. And then we heard that in Europe, there's a hospital that is able to train children who have this sickness to be able to sit up. So he said, I traveled with my child to Europe. In America, they call a country called Europe. In England, we have different names for the countries. Here, it's all called Europe. So he says, I traveled to Europe, and I spent 6 months at this hospital. And there was some progress. But then I had to go back to America. So I asked the doctors there, the physical therapist, to train me that I should be able to continue to help my child. And they said to me, you don't even have a high school diploma. How can you do anything? But I begged and begged, and finally they agreed. And they gave me a month of training. And I absorbed everything they said. I studied it so much. I came back to America, and my wife and I, we worked together. And after 2 years, my child was able to sit up. 2 years where we didn't spend any spare minute on doing things for ourselves. Any moment we had free, we spent with the child. And Baruch Hashem, we were matzliach. And he says, he calls over. There was a shadow there with his child. Calls over and shows Dr. Pelkovitz how this child in the wheelchair is able to sit up. And the child came over and this child gave a big smile. And he said, all of them had tears in their eyes when they saw this child. Dr. Pelkovitz said, the next morning, he said, brachas. I don't know if you've noticed brachas here in the morning. It's a very depressing affair. He said brachas, and when he got to the bracha of Zoichiv Kfufim, he said that bracha like he's never said it before. He understood what it means to have a Koras HaToiv, to be able just to sit up. He was so thankful to Rabbeinu Shlomo. The Mishnah says in Avos, Eizu Asher, who is a rich person? A rich person, the Rosh HaTeves of the word Asher is Ayin Shin Yud Resh, Enayim, Shinayim, Yadayim, Raglayim. A person has health. A person is able to see. A person has health. That is enough. You're a rich person. You've got a lot to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for. A person has to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for everything in life. When a person works and being Makir Tov for everything in life, Mr. Shem will be able to be Makir Tov to the Ribbono Shel Olam for the Torah itself. And then Mr. Shem will be Zeicha to be Makir Tov in the Emes away. The Emes away with the Korban Torah, with the good of Shleim, and here you may not unmain.